Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
I changed my message that I had intended from when I scripted what we would do this summer. The staff and those who work in the back, they always get my scriptures way, way in advance. But I had to change the message as the Lord just burnt something in my spirit to bring to you this day. So my message today is regain your focus. Very pivotal. Regain your focus. And we're going to be reading in a moment from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 12, verse 12 to 35. We're going to read Matthew chapter 12, verse 12 to 35. But I want to share with you this morning, the interesting thing here is that the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, which is our summer theme, for we live by believing and not by seeing. That's the NLT, New Living Translation. The NIV is, for we live by faith, not by sight. And I want to encourage us this summer as we embrace and enjoy the season, which is going very quickly. For those around the world, when we begin to feel the August chill in the air, it speaks volumes. How many have felt the August chill? And it means the sun is already shifting. That is alone a message. The sun is already shifting. But I want you to enjoy all the blessings of the Lord this summer and be focused on relaxing and enjoying and renewing and refreshing your spirit. But do not ignore your spiritual destination. Your spiritual destination. And so I want you to remember that there are times in our lives, just go back for me, don't go ahead. I want you to remember there are times in your life where we lose focus. Even in a moment. Have you ever come downstairs? Why are you laughing? I didn't finish my story. And what do? And sometimes you got to go all the way back up and stop where you were last for you to regain the focus. Or someone just said something to you, right? And you're like, got it. And what happens? Yeah, the young ones are not even answering. You will get there. Yes? The rest of us know exactly. I'm not even finishing my sentences. Because we are so there. But in the midst of that, we have to purpose not to be easily distracted or discouraged. Do not be easily distracted or discouraged. But instead, we've got to focus on the one who will accomplish all things through us. And we anticipate in faith his direction, his help, his peace, his renewing power, his renewing joy. We've got to be focused on our spiritual journey and destination. Be focused on our spiritual journey and destination. And there's two things to this. A journey is the short-term planning. It's the steps you're taking. It's the stops and the starts, yes? When you're preparing for a journey, you think, or even on the journey, you may stop for a moment, pause for a moment. My sister does not like being on journeys with me because she always says to me, tell me all the stops in between. And I'll say, oh, I'm just, no, she goes, no, it's not just. Every just for me is seven stops. Or because I'm on, okay, if I'm going out here, I can do this. Or I can, how many, right? Yeah. The journey. There are many stops and starts on the journey. But the one thing we must never do on the journey is forget the destination. We can stop and start and go sideways and take a little street and a side street or a little pause, but don't forget, there was an original destination. It ends when we get to the destination. And so our focus today is we've got to become more and more amazed at the magnitude of God, the frailty of us humans. When we recognize the magnitude of God and the frailty of humans, we begin to grow in faith. Many are not growing in faith because we think we are so magnanimous. It's only God who is mighty. And so I always love this passage, Romans 12:2. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. Message version tells us that. So my message today is regain your focus. In 2021, I preached through the book of Mark, from Mark chapter 1 to Mark 16. I preached the entire book of Mark. And in that preaching through it, I preached a message that was entitled, I can't even remember. It was something, focus. Stay focused. Stay focused. I felt very strongly in the last 2 weeks that I needed to preach that text again. And the text today comes in a different mixture. New insights as God puts it in. It's not the same message. I don't even like preaching the same message because I get bored. I do. That was part of the privilege and the joy of being a different type of evangelist, where I didn't like preaching because I have to hear what God is saying in the moment. And so there's some things that God showed me in this passage, and I'm going to share these with you today. And as we read through Matthew 14, verse 12 to 35, which extends the story, I need you to hear a few things today. And I want you to just regain your spiritual focus. And you just leave it on that, because I'm going to skip through a few things only because I've got to advance some time today. But just hold for a moment. I want to share with you today a number of things in Matthew 14, verse 12 to 35. And here's the highlights I'm going to give, and then we'll go back and read the text. In it, you're going to see John the Baptist is beheaded. That's an unexplainable tragedy. You're going to see that Jesus feeds the 5,000. That's an unexplainable miracle. You're going to see that Jesus walks on water. That's an unexplainable event and phenomena. There are unexplainables that show up in the Word of God to tell us that there are seasons in our lives where there's unexplainables. So would you today stand, and we're going to read this text together. Matthew 14, verse 12. Later, John's disciples came for his body and buried it. And then they went and told Jesus what had happened. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left the boat to a remote area. This is where Jesus feeds the 5,000. To a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed him from foot. And Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. In that evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "That isn't necessary. You feed them." "But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here," he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass, and Jesus took the 5 loaves, the 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. Here's where Jesus now walks on water, the unexplainable events and phenomena. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat to go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. Thank you, Father. You may be seated. So today, as I encourage the congregation in-house and those online, wherever you are, regain your focus. Regain your focus. Don't ever lose sight of the miracles that God has done. And don't lose sight just because things are unexplainable. Bible says Jesus took 5 loaves, 2 fish, looked up toward heaven and blessed them. When did he do this miracle? He did it right after John the Baptist was beheaded. The unexplainable tragedy. There are times when we see miracles floating one all together, and we just can't explain it, but we still just trust God. So the disciples are coming from where they just heard John's disciples say, "Jesus, are you the Messiah?" Blind still see, the deaf still hear. He says, "The dead are being raised. Blessed is he who believes." Well, why didn't you just raise John? Because it was not the Father's plan. And Jesus only did whose plan? There are times we want our plan fulfilled. There are times we even want people to tell us our plan is right. Anybody with me today? But it is the Father's plan that matters, regardless of what makes us happy or sad. So Jesus said to them, "John is my cousin, John is my forerunner, John is the one who baptized me. But right now, God says, still heal the sick, raise the dead, let the blind see." And so immediately, he goes and he begins to do the miracle of provision. "Well, God, why are you doing a miracle of provision when you could raise John from the dead? You could put his head back on because you created." Unexplainable tragedies are to be left in the hands of God. That's why I want to make sure I make it to heaven to find out some answers. Anybody with me? When we quickly lose sight of who is the mighty God, we begin to tell God how this should. And that is the tragedy of Christianity today, where it's played out. And there's constantly a buffeting, one to another, one against another. And that's why the church is not advancing, because we are not trusting that God can still be in control. But I believe God is still in control. Let me pause right now in something that's been in my mind that I just no time permitted. But do not forget in your daily prayers to pray for Israel. But do not forget in your daily prayers to pray for Palestine. Let me hear an amen. Amen. Do not forget to pray for both Israel and, say it loud, say their name. We leave it to God because we don't understand it, but we pray to God that he would do what only God can do. Unexplainable tragedies. And so today, I want to remind us we're losing focus because we're trying to fulfill human plans and not seeking God. When we lose sight, we begin to lose ground. The disciples, then Jesus moved from John the Baptist being beheaded to now he does a miracle of feeding 5,000. And his intervention is always both in nature and also in our lives. Every miracle should have a divine impact on us. Don't miss the miracles. And in generations where we miss declaring the miracles, children grow up thinking there are no miracles. I've got to ask you, is God still doing miracles? So why does a young generation think there are no miracles? Because we are not declaring it, because when we don't understand it, we shut it down. God is still in the business. He says in his word, we live by believing and not by seeing. So in Matthew 14 now, we come to Matthew 14, 22 to 35, where Jesus then walks on water. And here they are. They've gone through the unexplainable tragedy. They've gone through the unexplainable miracle of how do you take 5 loaves, 2 fish, and feed 5,000? Explain that to me. Can you explain it? Can you explain it? It's what? A miracle. So they've gone from that. Now they're at sea. And the first natural things created fear. We go from where we see God at work and we allow fear to cripple us in society. Fear has become the crippler of the church. There's a time when we continuously spoke words of faith, not speak words of fear. Oh, this is out of place. This is going to fall apart. This is not right. Can we believe that God is still in control? For we live by faith, not by sight. Folks, sight is deceptive, but faith is restorative. Sight is deceptive, but faith is restorative. So do not see things that do not exist. Instead, look at the phenomena and declare what it is. A lot of times we you see, fear is false evidence appearing real, but we tend to see it. Look. But faith is believing what God is about to do, but we tend not to see it. We fear what our mind tells us, but we don't allow our heart to tell us who's still in control. So what's going on with the disciples? The Bible says they're now out on the sea. Winds and the waves are buffeting them. And they're in serious trouble. It says in Mark 6, 8, in serious trouble they were rowing hard, struggling and straining. In serious trouble. Do you know what happened, folks? The winds and the wave came at them. They had just had a miracle of feeding 5,000. And the boat is filled with the rest of the miracle. Now they're in serious trouble. And they don't say, God, help us. They're rowing. Come on. You can do it. Why aren't you pulling? Pull. Do you know that we have become so sophisticated and super smart and overeducated that we tend to row our boats faster, but we don't call on Jesus to help us? Jesus, when I can't row anymore, I'll call you. Why don't we just start calling on the Lord and speaking in faith? Devil, the winds are against me. But if I'm going to row, I got to row with Jesus. If I'm going to row, I know Jesus is hearing me, Jesus is seeing me, Jesus is with me. So Jesus was watching the disciples and he could see they're straining. They're terrified. They started seeing aberrations. Do you know that aberration is something that it departs your mind from the normal to what is abnormal. Do you know their minds departed? First, they were rowing, and they see Jesus coming on the water. They say, Jesus coming on the water. And they don't stop and think, I wonder if God's coming to help us. They're like, oh no, now we're really in trouble. How many times have we done that where we don't understand it, but we don't take it back to God? Can you show me what's going on? Can you dissect this? Can you bring it down? Can you help me understand? Can you bring my heart at peace? And we drag other people into our fear. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? Online? Say something online if you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever been dragged into somebody's fear? Because when they tell a story, you feel so sorry, the next thing you're a part of the story. And when you go and tell the story, you're telling a whole different story. Because you were never in their boat. And now you're rowing another boat, telling a story that wasn't yours. Do you know that is the destruction of society today? We no longer know how to identify when Jesus is on the journey with us. We're so consumed with other things that if we can't explain it and we don't understand it, we make a story out of it. I'm coming down. Do you know that when we don't understand something and we can't explain it from our finite mind, we make a story out of it? Do you understand? And that's the struggle why the church is so weak in faith. Because we don't speak up, we speak down. We don't speak life, we speak fear. And then you wonder why another generation can't find anything powerful or strong about the church. We need a whole bunch of people who start speaking as if God is still with us. We sing, "I trust in God." But the minute something is unexplainable, we trust in ourselves and we trust in others. I trust in. Sing it with me. Stop it. What will he do? Do we believe it? So can't we, in the midst of the storms of our boat, yes, we got to do the natural, you got to row. But can you roll with some faith? I trust in God, my Savior, the one. Can you roll with some faith? Because winds are coming. Storms are coming. Things are coming. Economy is changing. But, come on, what? I trust in God. How can another generation ever understand the unexplainable if we fall apart every time it's unexplainable? So Peter is in a boat filled with people from the church. And so Peter decides, he says, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come. Call out to Jesus when the storms are against you. Nobody else on the boat spoke up. And when nobody else is speaking in faith, do like Peter. You speak your faith. Jesus said, come. And what did Peter do? Step out of the negative boat. Step out of the humanistic rowing boat and begin to walk on your Jesus water. Because if Jesus is there, you'll be okay. You know what's interesting? Back in Mark again, you see in Mark chapter, I can't remember where it is now. I have it in my text because I've skipped all over. Somewhere in Mark, Jesus was on the boat with the disciples and he was sleeping. Anybody remember that story? Those that are new to faith, the reason I like to give the text, I like you to read it yourself so you can look it up. Just put, you know, you don't have to tell me up here, I do time. But hear me, in the book of Mark, Jesus is sleeping on the boat while they're in a storm. What did the disciples do? They went and woke him up. And Jesus said, where's your faith? You couldn't believe that we'll get there because I'm on the boat? Do you think the boat's going to drown me? I'm Jesus. I sent here to die on the cross, not to drown in a boat. The unexplainable. Well, Jesus, if you're on the boat, why is there a storm? Because storms come. Storms come. And when storms come, we got to remember who's still there. He's not sleeping. He's still with us. So the realities that we face, they can sink us. Do not focus on things you do not understand. Focus on what you know in the Word of God. Don't focus on what you don't understand. Do you still believe in Jesus? You still believe? So reality, the first reality is going to be Jesus is walking on the water, and that's not always clearly within your eyesight. You see, when Jesus was walking on the water, it wasn't clear to the disciples who it was and what it was. Peter had to believe that it was Jesus. When you can't see him, is he dead? Isn't he still there? So you have to choose to see him by faith. Second reality is this. The winds will be boisterous. The waves will be ferocious. But Jesus doesn't stop walking. It's not like, okay, guys, row harder, because Jesus is about to drown in this. Folks, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He accomplished what Christ sent, what God sent him for. And I want you to know, in the midst of the most ferocious storm and the most boisterous wind, he's still Jesus. He's still Jesus. Thank you. So the third reality is this. Peter doesn't really know for sure, but faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Peter sees the same aberration that all the other 11 disciples are frightened of. And he's like, I see, I hear, I don't understand, and you guys, you're going to let me drown in the boat with you, so I'm going out. Don't drown in nobody else's boat. Walk out by faith. So Peter puts his foot out of the water, and he begins to walk towards Jesus. I want you to, if you're going to regain focus, friends, church, my friends, never forget or neglect the supernatural. Never forget and never neglect the supernatural. When Peter put his foot out of the boat, Jesus didn't tell him that there'd be a plank under it. In this day and age, we want everything to be perfect before we take an attempt. Well, Pastor, I would have faith if I see this. Well, that's not faith, because it says it's the evidence of things not yet seen. I'm going to see it with my heart's eye, my spirit eyes, not with my flesh eyes. Honestly, church, everybody wants everything to be perfect. And you want another human to make it perfect because you don't want to have faith to believe God will do it. Come on now. Smack yourself and say it's true. I'd like if God made it all just wonderful. We had all the answers. But no, I trust God because he is God, not because he's doing what I told him to do. Peter had to step out on the waves and the wind, and he did not know what it was going to look like. Pastor Rob preached a message, Walking with Your Ears. He heard the voice of Jesus and he walked. And sometimes we learn a lot. I'm learning a lot from my little animal. You know, puppies hate, or dogs hate storms, but she knows when a storm is coming before it comes. How many dog owners do you all know that, right? They have a sense, right? So I won't hear a lightning crack or a thunder crack or a lightning flash, but I'll see her run. I mean, how many dog owners come in? Animals or cats too? Cats know too. All the cat owners, feline, don't like them. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I forgive me. But you know that they actually sense the barometer change and the storm's coming, and they will cower or hide. My little puppy will run and hide under me, And I'm like, what are you doing? And then I hear, and I'm like, oh, you've heard. That's why they said when the tsunami happened, many of the animals fled to the mountains because they have an innate sense of the change of the time, the change of the barometer, and they'll escape it. Do you know why we don't know when the barometer, spiritual barometer is changing? Because we're too busy listening to people. We're not listening or sensing. I want you to know there's a temperature shift already. And I'm going to run and hide under Jesus. You don't have to bury your head into the storm, or you don't have to just keep focusing on the storm. The more you focus on the storm, what are you going to see? More storm. The more you listen to the storm, the wind and the stormy reality. The Bible says Peter was walking on the water towards Jesus. The winds were ferocious. The waves were coming. Everything was going. He's watching Jesus. And then all of a sudden, he allowed his, because no matter how strong we are, pastor, longtime Christian, no matter who we are, there'll be times a storm can sink us. And we have to do what? Regain. That's why the message is regain. That's why you got to regain focus. Peter was doing well. 11 faithless were in the boat. He's walking towards Jesus. And then a split second, his humanity said, do you realize you're walking on water? And he's like, oh my God, I'm walking on water. Boom! Because he began to focus on what? The wind and the wave. And then I love God's miracles. So here's the beauty. He didn't sink to the bottom because he did what? What did he do? He trusted and he regained his focus. The Bible says he looked back at Jesus and took his hands. Folks, can we in this season look back, look up, look to him? Because we live by faith, not by sight. Fear is false evidence, but in faith we call out to God. Let me just read that passage exactly as it is right now. It says, take courage. It says, verse 30, Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water toward Jesus, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid. When he saw the wind, he was afraid. When he saw the wind, he was walking to Jesus, then he saw the wind. When he saw the wind, he began to sink. When he began to sink, he said, Lord, save me. Could somebody tell God today, save me from myself? Because I'm too busy looking at the wind. Would somebody ask God today, save you from yourself? Because the wind caught me and the waves have overwhelmed me. But I need God to look back. And it said when he looked back, God, the Lord said, why do you have so little faith? The devil's always trying to mess us up. And in actuality, the storm was just a diversion. It was a scare tactic from Satan to mess up Jesus' disciple. Folks, nothing has changed. Same old trick. PPC, we're on the brink of a revival. I know one thing I've never stopped praying for. I came believing God for a revival in this church. I didn't come off of a road. Please, Renata, let them know I didn't come off the road because I was desperate. Any country I call now, there'll be a platform for me and a crusade waiting. I came off the road because it's God's season for a revival back in our land. And I want this church to know it doesn't matter what wind blows, what wave is ferocious. I'm not going to sink in it because I'm going to say, God, we need a revival so the next generation comes off the streets and comes in the house of the Lord praising. I need a revival. Hebrews. We read Hebrews. It said some died not seeing what they believed for. But they knew that it was still God's mission over their life. Would somebody be willing to die to see a whole generation of people come back to the Lord. But we are so self-consumed. If everything's not perfect for us, everything is wrong. Smack yourself sometimes. Because folks, the world is in chaos. Young people are in distress. The streets can be filled with anything. Just say one big name and they're all caught up. Just say anything and they're caught up. But ask them to come to church. And that's the worst, it's like a curse word. Because we have made it about us, not about him. Let me say that again. Because we made the church about, not about. I want to see thousands come. A few weeks ago we prayed about our streets and it seems to still be prevalent. Death every minute. Stabbing. Car exploding. Trucks exploding. People being killed on the road every minute. Where is this dead spirit coming from when the church is alive? There's much to be prayed about, folks. There's much to focus on. Here's the Bible tells us the ferocious storm and the boisterous wind had the disciples in fear, and Peter walked on water and it almost sank him, but he looked back to God and God took his hand and took him up. When Peter and Jesus got in the boat, it all stopped. That's a key message, folks. And it all stopped. If we want to see a revival, you're going to have to make sure you do what it takes to stop the winds and the waves. Because we're in a season where we've got to remember what God's intention is. God's intention is to save lives. Oh, Pastor, I thought God's intention was to make me happy. No, that is some other theology. I want God to make you happy. You should be happy in everything you do. If you gave your life to the Lord, you should be happy. Mister, you're going to be blessed. I see blessing resting all over your head. It's like fire. And we believe in the prosperity of the righteous. That is the right teaching. But in the midst of the blessing, there's some unexplainables. When the unexplainable come, it's not because God left you. It's because God is proving his faithfulness through you. Haven't you had to push through some things? Brother Carwin just came back from the islands and you've seen some things, but you had to push through. How many have had to push through some things? See, we stopped letting the generation see that there's winds and waves in life. And that even if a wind takes you down, blows you down, or a wave crashes you, that you got to look back up. We're like, no, it should never happen to you. Because you've been serving God. You've been tithing. So God should, you paid God. And we have a whole world of generation that just can't understand. If we, at this point in our life, folks, I've had enough preaching, enough reading of the word that should keep me, fire me up, and make me a blessing to generations. When Peter got in the boat and Jesus and him got in the boat and it stopped. The wind stopped. The boisterous, ferocious, incredible wind stopped. It breaks my heart that for year after year, we got to go back over this. We're not maturing to a level of strength. We can't seem to mature to where we realize Jesus had a destination when he told them to get in the boat. They were to go to Gennesaret. And the sick, the lame, the demonized, they were all in Gennesaret waiting for a miracle. And Jesus is sending us over to all the Gennesarets. We got to stop whimpering, whining, and complaining, and staying a light. Everything today has to be made light, because we're trying to stay away from the sugar. So you got this light, that light, that light, and that light. And now the church wants church light. Everything else can be made light, but the church must remain strong. So whatever the situation, get focused on the Lord. You're going to have to confront your fears, present your anxieties, declare your distraction. When you declare your distraction, you deny it power. Present your future. God, I don't understand. This is the unexplainable. But I got to trust that your word says you have a plan for me to prosper, not to harm me, to give me a hope and a future. You got to get God's confirmation. You got to reposition your faith. Folks, when Holy Spirit said, put in my spirit, put away that passage and preach, stay focused. I'm like, God, I preached that already. As I sat down Thursday and went through it, God showed me a whole new direction. Go back and look for the other message and listen to it and this again. I beg you, go listen to that message and this. And you'll see God takes the same scripture and he gives you a new revelation. Everything in our life, we need new revelation. So storms are going to come. And they're going to be unexplainable. But Jesus is still walking in the midst of the storm. And I'm going to regain my focus and keep looking at him.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.